Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Episode 4.
Blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle. We're back and better than ever. Eric, how you doing, man?
You know what? It was not my best week last week, so I could be better, man.
It was not your best week, and it was a very mediocre week for us all around. Collectively, our pickers, we went with Gary included. Gary was 3 for 3. Thank God for his bonus Duke pick.
that he didn't know the quarterback was out for.
That he did not know the quarterback was out for. And then I was 3-2. 0-2 in the NFL, though. I really, really need to touch up on the NFL.
Yeah, it's bad when you really put us, you know, we don't look good right now.
Well, don't look good in the NFL, especially, you know, the show is primarily talking about the NFL, so we got to step our game up there. But 3-0 in college football, so I'll be doing, sticking with college football this week for most of my picks. Eric, you were 2 for 3. I'm gonna give you the mic to hold yourself accountable for a second. What happened?
I need to step it up. There's no excuses. Moving on to next week.
No excuses. Play like a champion. Pick like a champion. Better yet.
Yes. We're on to week 3.
Yes. On to week 3, week 4, or week 5 of the NFL, or of college football.
Yeah.
We still don't know.
4.5.
So anyway, this week we have a good show for you guys. We're going to be doing a little bit more sports talk. We're going to be getting into that momentarily. Later in the show, we have our Give It a Ray.
He gives away his lineups or his sleepers and some different fantasy picks for us. So
yeah, Ray Santo is going to give us his fantasy picks, or you know, our fantasy quick hits as we previously called it. Probably we'll still call it that as well.
And he's had a pretty good turnout too. Last week was a little step down, but
yeah, we didn't give him too many good options.
Yeah, we gave him some turds out there. Yeah,
but we'll see. Well, he has a chance to redeem himself this week, and he'll kind of give us some good picks. We're going to load him up with a lot of questions, so make sure you stay tuned for that.
A
surprise sleeper quarterback. And we are also going to give our picks as well going into this weekend's games. But first, we're going to start with some storylines that have been dominating the NFL. If you're not sick about hearing them yet, please stay tuned because
we're
going to keep talking about them.
Exactly.
Eric, first of all, what the hell is going on in Pittsburgh right now?
That's a good question because honestly, I have no idea. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, if people are unfamiliar, which I'm sure they're not, give a quick recap of kind of like what's been going on in Pittsburgh. Seriously. Le'Veon Bell, I guess.
Yeah, we'll start with Le'Veon Bell just not showing up to begin with. And then, unlike last year, there's no timeline. There is no timeline given. He didn't let anybody know. He pissed off his offensive lineman when they thought he gave him a timeline. So that just stirs the pot a little bit more. And then, you know, when you don't win, it's going to obviously create some frustrations. And they haven't won yet. They tied the Browns, and then they lost last week pretty handily to the Chiefs. So
got
it's like
smoked. Yeah, I mean, career days by some of those guys. Patrick Mahomes.
At home, where you know you think the Steelers, where else are going to bounce back better than at home, and that wasn't the case. So it a lot of frustration. You saw some on the sideline that game, too, from Antonio Brown getting out of line.
Which we disagreed on. If you didn't see Antonio Brown getting in an argument with Four Leaf, the offensive coordinator, from
Randy Fickner.
Yeah, look it up. Google it, who Four Leaf is. Looks just like him. But I said it's a big deal, AB freaking out on Fickner on the sideline.
I mean, if you've seen, there was multiple like videos out there. I was trying to Google it because I'm like, is this what everyone's talking about?
It is a big deal.
But it lasted literally 5 seconds, and it was just him yelling. You've seen, he did it like 2 years ago. He threw a 5 gallon bucket Gatorade cooler across the sideline. Todd Haley had to grab him one time by the back of the jersey to pull him back and yell at him. Like, that was nothing compared to that. And honestly, a lot of those yelling matches, they happen every week in the NFL.
You don't see it on the camera every week, though. I mean, this is the only one
I can see. Yeah, that's exactly the point. It's like they shove it in his face, and I don't care what he's doing. I don't care what he's doing, but you care what he's doing because you're talking about it, so let's stick to camera in his face some more.
I will say this. Because of the previous, I mean, the other instances that you bring up of AB throwing the water cooler and Todd Haley.
I mean, AB, he's
not a big deal. Yeah, he's a fiery player. I get
sure.
it.
Sure.
My point, though, is given the context of the situation, starting off winless the first 2 weeks, given Le'Veon Bell's situation and kind of like the circus of what seems like it's going on in Pittsburgh right now.
A lot of frustration.
I think it is a big deal because you can't have your star player at the first sign of trouble ripping the new offensive coordinator. I mean, a team approach. I mean, I know it's the NFL. Yeah. I understand that. I'm not naive to that, you know, these guys don't buy
into. And it happens at that position more than any other, where somebody's going to get mad at an offensive coordinator because they're not getting the ball.
I feel like it doesn't happen there enough, though. I mean, you see Tom Brady and Josh Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
But they have a relationship that goes back for years and years and years. This is Randy Fitchner's second game as the OC, and AB already in his face.
Well, what do you want him to do? Take it easy on him? This is the NFL. Like,
I think maybe behind closed doors, not on the sideline.
It's going to happen both places. And as an emotional player that AB is, and he's shown throughout the years, it's not going to, like, that's not going to stop him, whether you're first, second, third game or year.
Well, you couple that with the fact that he skipped practice the following day.
Yeah, that's hindsight 2020.
Yeah, it is.
After that, seeing him not come to practice, then I think that starts to raise some
and then the tweet.
Raise some more concern. Yeah, the tweet was, I think it was more like a shot at the guy because the guy was an ex-PR worker for the Steelers and was like, trade me, and it's like, obviously that guy can't do it, so it didn't just shut the hell up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, and the guy was way off base anyway, so
He is way off base. Don't get me wrong. Completely off base. But the fact that you even, like, feed into someone's
I agree. Crap, yeah, you don't go out searching for the fight.
Send.
Yeah, exactly. Think it through. Don't press send.
But it's a mess over there, though.
It's not pretty, and it's what everyone's been saying for years. He's lost control of the team, and he's too much of a player's coach, but at what, you know, where do you draw the line?
I've defended Tomlin, and people will probably think I'm a Steeler hater. I am not. I truly am not. I don't hate teams in the NFL anymore. I'm past that point in my life. I'm past that point in my life, okay?
Big step.
Thank you. I do feel, though, that, you won't find a bigger Tomlin backer than me. I have for years. I like the idea of a player coach. I do like the idea of, like, a looser culture for the most part.
Sure.
But it can't be that loose. You can't have guys like, I mean, I just don't. We see things differently on the sideline freak out. And I know it probably happens more than I'm giving it credit for, but I hate seeing it, especially given the context of the situation. You know, when times get rough, week two, like, you don't have guys. I mean, I just, everything, yeah. all things considered, it's just a mess over there. Le'Veon Bell riding on jet skis. I mean, it's like,
Yeah, why can't you do that in the Susquehanna River? You know, come to Pittsburgh and do
The Mahongahela.
Yeah, why don't you do it there?
I don't get what the heck is going on over there, and it's so strange because you're not used to it, like, with the Steelers.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I hate to see it happen to anybody, especially the Steelers, so
Did I sense some sarcasm there?
No, it's a shame. It's a big shame.
Well, other news, kind of Le'Veon Bell-esque, speaking of knuckleheads, I should say, Josh Gordon is no longer a Cleveland Brown. Recently traded to the New England Patriots for a conditional fifth-round pick.
Oh, it was funny, though, because these Cleveland, like, hearing the Cleveland radio and stuff like that, oh, we're going to get a second and third-round pick. I'm like, wait, this guy hasn't done anything.
It wasn't just Cleveland radio.
Years.
It was, I mean, ESPN and NFL Network reported a, I can't remember the adjective they used to describe the pick, but it was like a substantial, nice.
But you had to have been a crazy person to think that because, like, this guy, everyone was so high and mighty on him, calling him an all-pro. And
he was pretty high and mighty, too.
Best receiving core in the league. Like, show me something. You played one game this year, you had one catch, and you had a touchdown. Great catch, but, like, you haven't shown up to practice on time, apparently more than once, because that wasn't the first time that they just had that happen and then let him go.
Now, so, do you think he was, like, forcing his hand out of Cleveland? Like, do you think he was kind of...
This is exactly what I think. I think he did not want to play in New Orleans that week, so he just shows up, you know what, hey, my hamstring's really killing me.
Okay. He's already cleared his physical. His hammy is good to go for the New England.
Yeah, so, you know, my hamstring's killing me, I can't play. Okay, this is suspicious. Like, what's going on? And then the next day you hear about him being late to treatment, so I think he just wanted that weekend off to sleep in.
Well, what was that can't be. You think just to sleep in? I mean,
I don't think he wanted to play in New Orleans. I did not think he was optimistic. I don't think he wanted to go there. And
I think he wanted out of Cleveland is what it
probably
comes down to.
Probably, but there was a lot of ways that he could have went about it, and I just think that this way...
He got his way here.
He's obviously not... He didn't think it through because it's not the best way to go about it, but...
Well, I mean, he landed in a pretty good spot.
He did, which I thought was kind of strange.
If you're going to go one place...
Well, no, not necessarily. Not for him, because, like, that offense system, like, it hasn't exactly been nice to receivers coming in that have played well other places. Like, they've chewed him up and spit him out, and the list is pretty long as far as understanding the system and being there a while to be the guy.
I don't feel that... Like, I feel like he is... I know we may disagree.
If he's a one-trick pony, that's
fine. I still think he's... I think his talent is, like, has scratched the surface of his talent. I believe that. I mean, I feel that he has a lot more to show. I think he is as talented as advertised if he can get his head on straight, which is a big if.
Like, I'd love to have the list of the people that went to the Patriots as wide receivers that we thought were going to blow up and do something, but never
I can't think of many.
I can think of
any of his stature, like Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson, washed up. Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks was good.
He played well.
He was really good.
He was there for a year.
And like, they traded him for a first-round pick.
So, I mean, he was there for a year. I'm just saying, like, if you go there to build something, it's not worked out for many wide receivers. Chris Hogan, maybe.
But these are guys that, I mean, given the fact of Josh Gordon's background of having that year in 2013.
Oh, he's in a better place. I'm not saying he's in a worse place. He's in a much better place.
His over-under on the season remaining is 650 receiving yards with Tom Brady. You said you'd take the under on that.
I don't think I said that.
You didn't make a comment. What would you take, the over or the under?
600.
650.
I like this. This is going to be
13 games left in the season.
Yeah. Does he have to play? I mean, I don't know.
14 games left in the season.
I don't know if he's going to play all of them. So,
well, I don't know either. That's a
big shot in the dark. Because half the deal was for the fifth round pick was he had to play at least 10 games.
Right. He has to be active.
Okay. So yeah. I'll say if he's active for those 10 games, he gets 600 yards.
Okay. So I will say, too, I think he will. I'm probably in the minority here at this point, but I think he can still have a pretty big season. I think he might start off a little bit slow, but I think once they recognize the talent that he is, because that's one thing Bill Belichick loves and appreciates more than anything is raw talent. He is as talented as they come. Might be a knucklehead.
You might not have. I don't think he has it in here.
He might not, but I mean, we'll.
That was my chest, not my head. Yes.
well, it's hard to, and to his defense, you know, it's not easy to kind of, I don't know what you want to say, to kind of motivate yourself playing on, you know, some of these Browns teams that he's been on, but that's no excuse. You're professional.
Exactly.
It's no excuse, but you have every opportunity in the world now.
I mean,
give him the culture, the quarterback, the coach, everything.
Yeah, and honestly, I said I know I knocked him before about the way he's left Cleveland, but it could have been a lot worse. He could have retired at halftime or quit at halftime.
That was incredible. It was incredible.
I saw that, and I'm like, hold on.
Vontae Davis? Yeah, retired at halftime. You brought it up, Eric. That blew my mind.
I was shocked.
I don't blame the guy. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, the guy. But that things are pretty – that's when you know things are really, really bad.
Yeah, he just literally left. Like, Steve Smith or people – I've seen receivers, you know, you get kicked out of the games and whatnot. You don't go home still. You just hang out in the stands.
Yeah, he got an Uber out of there.
He went home.
Now, we might have to check in with our Bills Mafia correspondent.
Yeah, because –
Bull Rider.
Yeah, we got to get some boots on the ground to figure out what's going on here.
God love those Bills fans right now. I mean, these Browns fans think they have it rough right now. I mean, those Bills fans are about to go through a whole
– I just
– they made the playoffs last year. How incredible –
Exactly. Like
they look like they don't have a chance of winning a game.
They
right
need
now.
To get a either flip everybody, like start new again. But because they're in a spot right now where it's either you can't rebuild and you can't like build on what you did last year.
Right.
It's a weird spot. Another like acquisition from the Bills this week too was Jordan Matthews. I saw just signed with the Eagles, gives them some wide receiver depth. And then his quote from the Bills was. Like, hey, Josh, what have you been doing with your time away since now he's back in Philadelphia? And he's just like, man, when I was in Buffalo, there wasn't anything else to do besides my wife. So
he said that?
Yeah, so he had some kids.
God. No, so, everyone loves the digs at Buffalo. Remember Willis McGahee did not like the women in Buffalo. It goes on.
And now it's the big thing going around ESPN is going to be, can the Bulls beat the Bills? And they think the Bulls can beat
the Bills. They can give them a run. We'll touch on that later.
Yeah.
But I guess moving forward, just to keep this conversation going, the last topic we kind of want to talk about because it hits home close to here, me being a Jets fan and, you know, obviously the Browns playing in town here. Jets-Browns Thursday Night Football. I'll be there. You'll be there in attendance.
Yep. Singing the national anthem.
Singing the national anthem. I mean, it's a pretty interesting game right here. Gary's Line, by the way, will be reffing.
Yeah.
At halftime, right?
Yep. And we're hoping to be out there in the third and fourth quarter, too, if things go right.
Yeah. So keep your eye out for the Z-Man. So anyway, though, big game coming up for, you know, at least
it's
for both those teams. It's an interesting game. The Browns, they have to win a game. And everyone, if you listen to Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, everyone is putting their hopes in the Browns for this week.
No, I think it's just realistic. Like, they haven't had a chance to win.
They're favored.
Yeah, exactly. So they're favored this week. Under Hugh Jackson, though, the Browns, they're 1-8 after leading at halftime. Like,
that's incredible. 1-8?
Hold on. Now, like, you think that's incredible and everything. Like, that's a crazy number. Since 2003, teams winning at halftime have won 73% of the time. 77% of the time.
77% of the time.
77% of the time. Hugh Jackson, on the other hand, has gone 1-8. after leading at halftime.
So that's 12.5%, if you're wondering.
Holy cow.
That is incredible. So, I mean, Hugh Jackson, that guy's an idiot. That's no surprise there. And good football teams put together four quarters of football to win a football game. Yeah, at least three. The Browns, that doesn't surprise me because they normally put together a half at most. Jeez. Now, I am going to be... you know, like I said, I've been listening to the sports talk all week, and I'm going to be on the opposite of whatever in town here is thinking. I'll preview one of my picks later on the show, but I'm going with the Jets getting 3 points in Cleveland. Oof. Here's the reason I would stay away from it. I will say this is it's Thursday night. The Jets are kind of getting screwed with the schedule, having a Monday night game. You know, versus the Lions.
Is it three games in 11 days? Is that what it was?
It's something. Well, Monday night versus the Lions on the road. Then, you know, back at home, you know, on Sunday. And then, you know, you have to travel to Cleveland to play a Thursday night game. Not that the Browns have it easy, you know, traveling from New Orleans up there. But I hear these guys complaining about it. I'm like, the Jets played on Monday night.
Yeah, and you have to go to Cleveland. So that's, I mean, that's pretty depressing too.
So, anyway, we'll disagree on that. But anyway, I do think that... I think it's gonna be a very interesting game just because, you know, what if – I'm going to pose this question to you. What if the Browns lose? What happens if the Browns lose?
It's going to be two-part because part one is what I want, and the other part is going to be what I think is going to happen.
Well, give me part one. What do you want?
What do I want to happen? I want Hugh Jackson gone. I think that's the next step. You can – and I don't want – you're going to think then I want everything turned. I want Baker in there and yada, yada. But, no, that's not the case. I just want Hugh gone. Baby steps here.
So you want gone. So if Hugh's gone, who takes over the team? Todd Haley?
Yeah.
Okay. So in what you want to happen if the Browns lose is they fire Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
Todd Haley takes the reins.
Yep.
And they continue with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback and everything
not for
else.
So it's no longer going to be a season plan like that. Then they play Baker, give him two more games, give Tyrod two more games, and then they get Baker.
So you're strictly, this season is strictly to develop like the younger guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now what is going to happen?
I think if they lose,
yeah,
nothing changes.
Okay. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. I'm just going to disagree with you. I think this is what is going to happen. I think if the Browns lose, I think Hugh Jackson is fired because I think they're going to, whether it's the right decision or not, I do think it's the right decision. I think if they lose, they're going to fire Hugh Jackson. And I think Baker Mayfield will be playing week four. I'm not sure who they're playing week four.
It does time up very
Raiders
nice.
Versus the Raiders.
Schedule wise.
You know, you have extra days to prepare. You're not playing a great football team. Granted, you are on the road in Oakland, which is a whole new, you know, whole new experience. But, you know, playing big-time college football, these guys have been in hostile environments. That's my gut opinion. That's my gut feeling. If they lose, which I'm thinking that they will, just because it just seems like everyone has their hopes up so much, and when that happens, I don't know. It's a gut feeling that the Jets are walking out of there with a win this week,
devil's advocate to you then. I think the Browns win this week.
Okay. Now, can you give me a reason? I mean, I'm sure I can kind of predict the reasonings, but look, why do you think that?
I mean, their defenses are similar. They're both going to be good defenses. Yeah. It's going to be a low-scoring game. But I think the turnovers, I think that's what's going to be the difference. I think Darnold is going to make some mistakes. He's going to make some good plays, but he's going to make some mistakes too. And it's going to ultimately – I mean, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
It really won't be. 3-2.
What are the Browns going to do with that? With the ball after they get the ball back, it's going to be the Steelers get
make
6 turnovers.
A field goal.
Well, you look at
or an extra point
or the Steelers game. You know, you can turn the ball over 6 times versus the Browns, and they're going to get 7 points from it from a 1 yard touchdown punching it in.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if you're the Jets, you take some chances this game because I'm not afraid of the Browns
and
offense.
And I see the Browns defense might be missing a couple key components to it, so it could help.
Kirksey's out.
Is he out?
He's going to be most likely. He's going to be out.
Demaryius
he hasn't
Randall
practiced yet.
Is probably doubtful.
He's doubtful. The defensive end. What's his face?
Demaryius Randall's out. I'd say fire Robbie Anderson up because going deep. They're going to have a problem stopping it.
Ogba is. Who else I was thinking? He's going to be out too. So there's half your pass rush. But regardless, it should be pretty interesting to see what happens. I think that Robbie Anderson, like you just said, fire him up. Couldn't agree with you more. I think he could be a good day. He could be in for a good day. I think Quincy Enunwa also could be in for a good day.
Or it goes back to Julius Peppers playing back on St. Clair.
Yeah, if that's the case, then Quincy Enunwa is going to have a pretty pretty successful day.
Yes.
I think they're just going to attack the middle. I don't think the Jets are a you know, asked me this last year and it said something completely different. I don't think they're a dumb team. I do think that they – I hope they take some chances. You know, young quarterback on the road, another primetime game. I hope that he kind of shows the world what he has and kind of pays – you know, makes the Browns pay for not drafting him.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. Like, Dorsey and Darnold's family, like, they were close. They were hanging out, Senior Bowl, whatever. You know, they were – those two are long rumored to be together. So
yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah.
I hope I really do. Like, from the Jets fan in me, I'd love to see – Sam Darnold just make the Browns pay for not taking him. And I think he's going to – not that you need an extra chip on your shoulder when you're playing, but I do – I'm a believer in that stuff, and I also do believe that the feeling I have listening to all these Browns fans talk, I feel like they have so much pressure and they're going to play so tight and just – I don't know. I don't trust this team. They show me nothing to kind of trust them. I know we kind of talked last week off, you know, off the show. You said if the Browns covered versus the Saints
– it was a big deal.
It's a big deal. I disagree. I think – a loss like that, how it happened, I think it rips the heart out of them even more. Maybe it'll make them more hungry. I don't know. You know, you can be optimistic if you're a Browns fan that that happens. But my gut opinion is that it doesn't do any good, and the Browns are going to be searching for another win going to Oakland next week.
I think they show up and they play well tomorrow night. I think they do beat the Jets. I don't know.
You want to give a score prediction to it?
It's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be like 17-0 Browns or 6-3 Browns.
Okay. I'm going to say Jets are going to win the game 24-21 Browns. I'm going to say it's going to be close. I'm not sure what the over-under is, but
it's 40.
Browns will probably shank a last-minute field goal, and
the freezers will stay closed. Yeah, this is very likely. Again, this is going with every trend in history for the past 2 years. So,
well, all right, moving on then. That's my one NFL pick of the week. The Jets, 3-point underdogs on the road in Cleveland tomorrow night. That's my first pick of my first five. You want to get your NFL picks in here before we touch on football?
Yeah, let's go into NFL. I'll keep going with NFL.
So who do you like this week?
So for this week, I'm going to go – they let me down last week. They were 6.5-point dogs to the Falcons in Atlanta. Lost by 7, hurt. But I'm going to go with Carolina again this week at home against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's they've been riding high. They have some good mojo going with the team. Joe Mixon's out, I believe, this week.
He's out.
It's going to hurt him a little bit, but at the same time, I mean, Giovanni Bernard's pretty dangerous, but I think they'll take care of that.
What's that line again? Say that again.
3.
3, okay.
Minus 3. So I'm taking Carolina minus the 3.
Okay.
The second one will be Seattle minus 1.5 versus Dallas. I know I'm, again, fading the Cowboys, but I don't think they're a very good team. A lot of things went their way last week, including the Giants being god-awful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you knew that was going to be a crappy game to watch, but holy cow, like, you really think that – I mean, I'd feel bad for some Giants fans. What do you have? You got to root for Super Bowl. You can't root for rebuild because you have the pieces there, so, like, win now. But
if not, you draft Sam Darnold, too.
Yeah, and that's probably what they should have been doing. But at the
now, you're playing Seattle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
Nothing to brag home with there. They look terrible on Monday night, too, the first half, at least.
Seattle, that's a tough matchup for them. The Bears are not a bad team.
Such an unimaginative offense. It's so boring to watch them play.
It's hard.
Brian Schottenheimer.
This is going to be a battle because the Seattle's offense line is terrible.
Battle of the bums.
Yeah. No, their offensive line is terrible, and it's hard to do anything as an offense when your offensive line is terrible as the New York Giants. So it's going to be similar, but I think the Seahawks need to win, and they get to win at home.
Okay.
Last NFL one is going to be the Buccaneers home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the over in that game is going to be 53.
Nice.
Taking that over. That's.
Oh, you're not taking – you want to pick a winner? Off the record?
Oh, I'd love to take the Buccaneers. Okay. I'm on the Buccaneers. Stir the pot.
You know, rile up the circus a little bit. Get those circus freaks. Get
their flag. Yeah, their toilet paper flag, whatever, towels going. Yeah.
So that's what we got. So and now, I gave you my one NFL pick, too. I'm just to kind of recap. I'm taking the Jets plus 3.
Okay.
And
that's your only NFL.
And we disagree with that. I'm sticking with the college football.
Okay.
So I'm going to – do you mind if I start then?
Yeah, go ahead with the college.
Okay, well, I'm going to give kind of an unknown – one that you guys probably don't care about because no one will watch it, but Troy at University of Louisiana at Monroe. Okay. Not to be confused with the real University of Louisiana. UL Monroe is getting 7 points here, home underdogs. So UL Monroe has beat Troy 4 of the last 5 times. Troy, I think that this is like this has trap game written all over it for it. You know, winning in Lincoln last week versus a banged up, you know, Nebraska team. I don't think they're as good as.
I think they're a good team.
They might be good, but I just think they, you know what, and they probably, and they might win. They might win this game, but I don't think they win by a touchdown. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think ULM, you know, like I said, they, for the last five meetings, they've won. They hung with A&M last week pretty good, yeah. Pretty evenly matched. I'd say 7 points at home is pretty generous. Okay. On the contrary, I'm going to take a big-time home favorite here. Big-time matchup, SEC game of the week, Alabama giving 26 points home versus A&M. I have no reason not to take the Tide. I've been all over the Tide so far this season. Until they prove me wrong, I'm not gonna back away from it.
I have that one down too. I don't care about the points in that one.
I don't care. I mean, it's, if you watch them play, I mean, I'm not a believer.
If it's five touchdowns or less, that should be a no brainer every week.
Right. I mean, A&M, they're not a bad team. I mean, 21st in the country, I think they're ranked. I mean, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
I just think that A&M, the one thing that you can make the argument for is A&M playing versus Clemson. You know, Clemson, the number two team in the country. Well, that was Jimbo's first game at College Station, first big game, I should say.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the Saturday night at home, everything's fired up. Clemson, there's a big discrepancy between one and two. Big difference between Clemson and Alabama.
Yeah. I think you're right on. Ride the Tide.
Yeah.
Until it goes down, I think you have to.
Yeah, and Clemson, A&M was 12-point dogs for that game versus Clemson, too. I just think 26 is a pretty good line. I think they win by five touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's sounding crazy.
It sounds crazy, but at the same time, it really does.
So you're on board with that one,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the other one I do like is another big favorite, another big home favorite is Ole Miss.
Whew, I thought you were going to take mine. I got one in the chamber. And I
okay.
That was
well,
be it.
The reason I like Ole Miss, though, at home versus Kent State, they're 28-point favorites. After that ass-kicking Alabama put on them, I think that they're a decent football team. I think Alabama is that much better than everyone. And I think that they can put up points in a hurry, too. I mean, granted, they haven't played many good teams. Kent State is one of those poor, poor football teams. The only impressive game that they've kind of had so far was versus Illinois.
Yeah.
And Illinois stinks. I mean, they hung with Illinois. They still didn't even beat them. Yeah, Lovie Smith, the fighting Lovies. I think this is a good line. I think 28 points, similar to Alabama, I think that they beat him by five touchdowns.
They respond. They get back into it. Yeah.
And I think, you know, kind of seeing some of the stuff that Alabama did to him, I think maybe you get back in the lab, see what happens. I think that could be a good pick. And the last one I'm going to take, I want to make a mention of this. I do like the Bulls at Rutgers, but I'm not going to take them out of respect for Wills because I don't want to mush them. That's an inside joke.
That's pride.
Anyway, the last one I do like is TCU on the road in Austin at University of Texas, 2.5-point favorites.
Okay.
I think that Texas
a big game last week, both of them.
Yeah, but I think USC is overrated, who Texas beat pretty good last week. But I also think that I think Texas is incredibly overrated. I think Texas, you know, you saw them versus Maryland, not impressive at all. And that's not to disrespect Maryland. I think Maryland's a pretty good football program, especially all things considered, what's going on over
right,
there.
Even though, yeah.
But I just think, you know, Austin, Dallas, it's not like a huge road trip. I mean, granted, they're in their home stadium. It's going to make a little difference, but
so
TCU.
That's your pick, TCU?
TCU has pummeled them. The last five meetings, they beat them by an average of 30 points. That is an absolute butt whooping, 30 points. Four of their last five games, they won against the spread versus Texas. And I don't know. To me,
okay.
I think TCU hung with Ohio State. They look pretty good. I think they get a bounce back week this week at Texas, and I think that they continue that trend of just beating them up. I'd say at least, I think they win by 10 points,
really?
If not more. But
what's the line?
2.5.
Really?
Or 2.5
okay.
point favorites. So those are my picks. Those are my lockdown picks of the week.
All right.
Eric, what are your college picks?
All right. So I got my last two college picks. Sticking with the trend of who I picked last week, going to go with Buffalo -5.
You
Rutgers.
Are going with the Bulls.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I haven't. They haven't
faked
steered
me out of that.
They haven't steered me wrong yet. So, got the Bulls -5 at Rutgers, beating up on a Big Ten team. And then the next one's going to be a big home favorite, and that's Ohio State -37.
Versus the Green Wave of Tulane.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, all things considered with what's going on in Ohio State, I think they really take it to them this weekend, send a message, and get Urban Meyer back on the right foot.
Urban Meyer, did you say?
Yeah, Meyer. Liar.
The poor Green Wave. I can see that. I can honestly see that game going one of two ways. I can see, I don't know. Maybe,
I think it's going to be bad.
Hopefully it's not a distraction. I mean, for Ohio State's sake, hopefully it's not like a distraction, everything that's going on. But I tend to agree with you. That was a tempting line. 37, did you say?
Yeah.
I kind of liked Ohio State in that too, but I didn't take it, obviously.
It's a lot of points, but at the same time.
It is a lot of points. But, you know, that's the thing. We have a lot of big points for us, and I'm comfortable taking those, especially, you know, the major top-tier programs versus, like, the, you know, the terrible programs. Always, you know, never a bad decision. So, like I said, we have one more segment for you here, as we mentioned earlier. Give it a Ray segment where Ray's going to give us...
Yeah, exactly.
So, Ray's going to give us his fancy quick hits. We're going to hit him with some... you know what? We'll just have you listen to it. Here's Ray Santo discussing some guys keeping your lineup this week for fantasy football or some guys to keep out of your lineup for fantasy football. So here he is. And we're joined now by Ray Santo in our new segment, Give It a Ray. Mundo is going to give us his fantasy quick hits, and we're going to talk a little fantasy football here with Ray. Ray, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Ray?
So Ray, we were doing a little recap, and then, you know, granted, you have an asterisk. But with the picks, with your toss-up picks last week, you're 1-for-4. The asterisk being Josh Gordon, obviously he didn't play.
Oh,
and that's for, you know, a whole other discussion. But
Stay off the weed.
So we got you back this week and, you know, a little redemption. We got you some tough toss-ups for you.
Okay, but let's rapid fire.
Well, number one, we're going to go FanDuel quarterback of the week. Who do you like this week on FanDuel playing the quarterback position?
Yeah, rapid fire, Patrick Mahomes.
Solid.
Number one.
Yeah, you witnessed that firsthand last week, did you not?
I witnessed it. I sat in 95-degree heat, sweating, worst game I've ever been to. But, I mean, it was great seeing the touchdowns. But, yeah, it was – we left fourth quarter, not even 15 minutes ago.
Kid's got a cannon,
Patrick Mahomes,
though.
Patrick Mahomes, the guy's a video game right now.
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
He's special what he's doing right now. So we're going to keep going right now with quarterbacks. We're going to begin with our toss-ups here. Interesting matchup because this is a 1-on-1 matchup. Carson Wentz back for the Eagles, home versus the Indianapolis Colts. So our toss-up is Carson Wentz versus Andrew Luck.
Right, that's a good toss-up. Wentz back from injury, down on receivers, and then you got Luck who is coming back strong. I'm still going to go with Wentz. Them being home and them playing energized.
Banking on the potential.
Yes.
Okay, I like that. Toss up number two. We're going to go to running backs here. Marshawn Lynch valued at $6,400 versus Adrian Peterson valued at $6,500. Marshawn Lynch at Miami. Adrian Peterson versus Green Bay.
Yeah, Marshawn.
Marshawn.
AP doesn't catch any balls, and look for a lot of Chris Thompson again there.
I think that's spot on.
Yeah. You're dead, and that's another thing I should mention too. You're dead on with your sleeper pick of Chris Thompson last week as well. So. That's a good one right there. Moving right along then, Ray. Two very underwhelming running backs so far this season. Lamar Miller home versus the New York Giants versus LeSean Shady McCoy at Minneapolis. Both valued at $6,500.
We should get Wilson on the line here for this one.
Yeah.
He might be too sick to talk about it.
He would tell us to stay the hell away from Shady or anybody else on Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
they're facts. Terrible. And especially versus, you know, versus Minneapolis.
Minnesota. They're 17-point underdog. Off.
Yeah. LeSean McCoy, quick stat for you, averaging 5.7 points a game in FanDuel, which is incredible to think that it's PPR.
Yeah.
And he has cracked ribs.
Yeah.
That's a disaster. I don't even think he can score in garbage time.
I don't think they do score.
It's a disaster. I got to agree with you. All right. We'll start small here on receivers. You know, you probably saw him on the highlights too. I didn't watch too much of the game, but Keelan Cole valued at $6,400 versus your boy Kenny Stills valued at $6,400. Keelan Cole home versus Tennessee. Kenny Stills home versus Oakland.
Very tough one. They both had similar roles. Keelan Cole had that insane catch last week.
Odell-esque. Yeah. Yes,
he just held that thing out there.
Right. I'm just gonna go. I think they're both similar, obviously, with the value. I'm gonna go with Stills. I think that Stills has the potential to catch a couple long balls, and I like the trajectory of Miami. Obviously, I like the trajectory of. Yeah, that's a tough call. That one's tough.
Yeah, they're both averaging 14 points a game, you know, early on in the season too.
Yeah, let's stay Stills. I don't know if I haven't seen any touchdowns. on Jeff and Keelan Cole. So
right, that's a coin flip, definitely, most definitely a coin flip. But we'll mark you down for Stills.
Stills.
Okay. Yep. Now here's a little bit of a tougher one because they're teammates, and we kind of mentioned the game previously, but Adam Thielen versus Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs valued at $8,300, Thielen $8,200.
Diggs, man. Yeah, the two long bombs. Sorry about that last week, Eric. I know those are your Packers.
That's all right. I'm still not over it, but thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, nice tie. Does everyone well? I think because Diggs went ham last week, so I'm going to go Thielen.
Yeah, an interesting stat, too, that we read. Thielen is going to be facing a lot of Raphael Bush from the Bills. Who has been getting torched by everyone, you know, the past couple seasons. And Stephon Diggs will probably draw Tre'Davious White from LSU. And, you know, I guess if you got a nitpick, you got to look at stuff like that. So we got to agree with you on Thielen there.
Yeah.
And one more receiver here for you. One more receiver toss-up. Allen Robinson at Arizona and Amari Cooper at Miami. Both Amari Cooper valued at $6,900. Allen Robinson, $6,500.
Is that Arizona?
Correct.
All right. I'm going to go. I really want to go Allen Robinson, but I do think that you got Patrick Peterson over there, and he's the unquestioned number one. So Patrick Peterson's going to have to go to him. And we'll go with Cooper. He didn't do anything week one, but he woke up week two.
Yeah, I think Caroon's going to try to make it a point to get him the ball a little bit more.
He's forcing him. Yeah.
Yeah, so he'll get those balls.
I agree. I do think though, they're going to start force feeding Trubisky to throw deals. So I like Robinson more, but I still like Cooper to outproduce him here.
All right. Well, hey, any sleepers this week? You hit on Chris Thompson last week. You got any sleepers for us this week?
Yeah, I like Blake Bortles at quarterback.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Oh, can you repeat that?
I like Blake Bortles at quarterback.
All right, why do you like Blake Bortles so much this week? Just because of the matchup?
Who are they playing again? Give it to me, I just forget.
The Tennessee Titans.
Right.
That's why.
Divisional game.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense, yeah.
They're hot. I mean, but listen, he had almost 70 yards with his legs. He went through a stretch like this last year, if you can remember, at a certain point in time, where he tore up fantasy for about a good month. Not having leaning on Leonard Fournette, with not having that crush there, helped him. He's going to be back, so I don't think they're just going to rush all the carries to him. And I could see Bortles maybe scoring one with his legs and another two in the air for Bortles.
Now, do you have any other sleepers for us, Ray?
Yes, I have Giovanni Bernard,
okay.
Dalvin Cook, and Matt Breida.
Okay. Matt Breida, okay, that's an interesting one there.
I'm going to have to play Breida because Le'Veon Bell's still out, and I've been trying to trade him.
So I'm going to ask you one more here, Ray.
Definitely play Breida. Play anybody in that game.
Give me I want your thoughts on this sleeper. The sleeper kind of woke up last year, but kind of going into the season, he's a guy I kind of had marked on my radar, but Antonio Callaway. Thoughts on him? I know he made a pretty impressive catch last week, that fourth and five play. Tons of talent. Thoughts on him this week versus the Jets, or tomorrow night versus the Jets?
Tomorrow night versus the Jets.
I don't know what he's valued at.
Jarvis Landry is supposed to play, so...
Yeah,
I like him. I mean, I wouldn't start him anywhere, and I probably wouldn't put him in my FanDuel. I mean, FanDuel doesn't go on Thursdays, but I don't think I would start him anywhere, but I mean, I like him for maybe a deep ball. But I'm not going to give him more than like four targets.
They really don't throw
at least four accurate targets.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
No, I was going to say, we're talking deep sleeper, FanDuel deep sleeper, because I...
Yeah, deep sleeper. Yeah, deep sleeper, right, because he's only going to pick, 5,000? I also like drawing him with Allison, deep sleeper. I can see him catching a long one.
Yeah, he's been pretty productive to this point in the season as well.
He's a very underrated receiver that he has good hands and Rodgers trusts him, so it goes a long way.
Now, Ray...
Yeah, Callaway, for the volume, might be okay.
Yeah. Now, quick stardom. Quickly give us some stardom sit-ems this week. Some guys that we should definitely keep in our lineup or definitely avoid.
Derrick Henry sit versus Jacksonville.
Okay.
Adrian Peterson sit. If you have Matt Stafford, he's a start.
Okay.
Anybody on the Kansas City Chiefs is a start. Vikings is a start. George Kittle, nice. Tight end for the Niners. I really like him.
Starting two Niners this week.
Let me give you this one. George, I'm going to give you one more toss-up. Kittle versus Evan Ingram.
Kittle.
Okay. Those are my two guys.
Playing who?
I can't even remember who the Giants are playing, to be honest. I don't have it in front of me. Oh, they're playing the Texans, Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse James just went for 130 yards and a touchdown versus the Chiefs. They can't, you know, with the tight end. So I really like Kittle there.
Okay. All right, well, there you have it. And we're going to put you on the spot for one more here, Ray. Stardom, sit him. Ryan Fitzpatrick versus your Pittsburgh Steelers Monday night. Hottest quarterback in the league.
Start and start Deshaun Jackson with him.
Okay. I didn't know if Pride would take over. We want to put you on the spot there.
I know the Steelers, it's a circus there in Pittsburgh. Yeah. The last three games I've been to have all been losses. Patriots, Jacksonville, and this last one. I've seen 80 points in two games. 84 Jeez. Points.
And no doubt.
Did AB show up to practice today?
AB apparently showed up to practice.
Okay.
Apparently.
Well, hey, Ray, if this circus continues, we're going to extend your fantasy segment to discuss the Steeler thing. Okay.
I will do that. Bortles is my sleeper. He is a deep sleeper, so don't hang all my sleepers on Bortles. But I do think he will surprise people.
Okay.
The boat. All right.
Well, we got it marked, Ray. Again, thanks for having it. This is give me the segment.
Give
one
it.
Time.
Give it to Ray.
Give it
a Ray segment.
Give it a Ray segment. All right. Thanks, Mundo.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Ray.
There you have it. Thanks, Ray, for joining us again. Guys, thanks for listening. Again, this is at BTW Pod.
You can send you guys' picks to us on Twitter, too. We'll keep track of them, and then we'll maybe get you on for our next pick segment. We didn't have anybody on this week. Nobody could step up to the plate with a winning record to post and show for it. So, you know,
if you're up for the
hard
challenge,
to find. Yeah.
If you're up for the challenge, you know, definitely ask. You know, we'll find a spot for you to get on here. Again, I gave you the wrong Twitter handle, at BTW_pod. And we're also available on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. So subscribe so you can get these episodes immediately. And keep listening, guys. We appreciate the support.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week.